Patch King.
Sounds good.
She's got it.
Sam is present.
Yeah.
Hello, Dave. Good morning. Are we advertising properly?
Yes, we have a meeting notice posted with the city clerk's office on November 20th.
Do we have roll call, please?
Yes. Mark Gandel.
Present.
Valerie Beegan. Troy Hershberger.
Here.
Ken Brittles excused. Mary Lee Hershberger is excused. Douglas Loudon.
Here.
Mike Needham.
Here.
Tony Yoder.
Here.
And Martha Zinn.
Here.
We have a call, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you everyone for attending. It was nice to see you on it.
Thank y'all for the new chairs too, by the way.
You like them?
These are nice.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun.
I have these chairs out.
Did he?
Yeah.
He did good.
I give him a vote.
Yep. Only thing I can touch the floor.
Just have to wear heels.
I will. I put my feet on the floor. And I sit back and put.
They're not as hard on heels.
John, we're having a hard time settling down today. That's what it is. It is. It's a wonderful season too. Anyway, we have some minutes that we need to approve.
A motion approved as written.
A second.
We have a motion and a second. If the minutes are correct. Everyone in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And it carries.
Thank you.
What do we got? Code enforcement case.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So the first one I wanted to bring up is 1507 Northwest First Avenue. Joe, you may be able to provide a little bit inside of it. This is the Castro Rodriguez property.
Yeah.
I still have an active case on for the tree. It's the residents that the tree fell from city property on the house. So just bringing that one up to make you aware that we're still aware of it and still monitor it pretty closely to see what happens on the legal side of things. So just to say, we're still watching it because it's an eyesore. 1418 Northwest First Avenue is one we demolished recently. I also sent you an email on this one. You may already be aware of it as well. But we have $73,520 in code enforcement liens. I think that would definitely be a point of interest for foreclosure.
Sure, okay.
The other one is 1424 Northwest First Avenue, directly beside 1418. Kevin Blazak, it's another one of the structures demolished previously. We have $34,025.60 in code enforcement liens on that one as well. I think that'd be another point of interest for foreclosure. Get that one having already started. Those are the three most pertinent ones, and ironically right there within close proximity on First Avenue. Office has about 4 to 6 other cases in the North Magnolia area, but there's minimal for overgrowth. A couple of them are cut, but they're just littered with junk. So we do have a few cases there, but other than that, it's not the extent of our action right now, open stuff right now, so floor is open for you guys. If y'all have anything else on the code enforcement side that needs to look at, we'd follow up for happy video.
Let me ask you about a property. It's a small piece of property on 14th Street between my office and the cemetery.
Okay.
It's wooded, which I don't have a problem with, but it's overgrowing the sidewalk on 14th Street, and it's overgrowing the street behind it where the cemetery is. And I don't know if the portion that's overgrown is the city's responsibility or the homeowner's or the property owner.
I know exactly what you're talking about, so yeah. I'll write up there.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it being wooded. I mean, it's,
right.
You know, it's a wood. It's just really encroaching up the sidewalk. It's got road frontage on three sides.
Certainly.
He used to have a house back in there, didn't he, way back?
Yeah, that was the man that used to paint refrigerators for us.
Yeah.
J.B. House, he used to paint refrigerators. His son-in-law ended up with it when he passed away and ended up selling it.
I did just remember one more. On the east side of North Magnolia, I believe it's Currington. Is it the Currington Construction, I believe, is the company? They had the old...
Maybe it's Collison.
Collison. Collison's got the old, like, barn, warehouse barn. We have an active case on that as well right now. We've made contact with them, because Greg, our permit manager, actually used to work pretty closely with them before we worked for the city. And we have made contact with them. They are in the process of figuring out financially what's feasible, whether they're going to restore it enough to get it back presentable and safe, or just demolish it and try something else. So just remember that, and we are watching that and see what they decide. We've given them through the end of this year to figure out, because there was some pretty sentimental value to it, some history behind it, so we didn't want to just go in kind of glazing and make them do something when there is some value to it, you know, for them. So like I said, we'll hopefully be seeing some movement on that stuff here.
Do you have a case working? It's actually south of 20th Street. It's an auto repair facility behind, I think it's Snowbird's Tavern.
Okay.
Do you have something working there?
We have one on the, are you talking about the one that's on the corner?
No.
It's a corner lot?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's fronting a street that runs north and south.
Oh, yep.
Right behind.
We don't have anything on that one right now. And most of the time, they keep their stuff, even though it's somewhat of an eyesore, you know, to the average person, for the most part, they've been within the confines of the code. So I definitely want to point the contact out.
He approached me in a restaurant one morning and told me the code enforcement had been by, and they wouldn't tell him what they were there for. And I said, well, you know, we hear about things like this typically, and then I checked with Gus to see if there was something in the interim of our meetings, and he knew of nothing.
That doesn't sound like any of our staff either. I mean, we have a very, very friendly staff that likes talking to people and working through things. And I say on that note too, since we have just hired a couple of new guys, one of them that is working in the Northeast, so he'll have a little involvement with the North Magnolia area. His name's Tracy Gilliard. He actually used to work in finance for the city, went to work for the police department, community services, he was a community service officer for them. He's retired from the military. He was a master sergeant for 20 some odd years. So excellent guy there. He'll have a little involvement up there. The other one is Captain James Poe from the Sheriff's Office. He retired after 32 years. He's working with us now. And he's one of our targets for a new position that's been created as an environmental officer. So he'll be a target for that. He'll have some significant roles. If that happens, if and when that happens, we'll be in the right way of helping that we see sometimes in the next year. So got a good group of guys now. Not that we haven't had in the past, but we definitely have a good staff. And
well, I actually suggested and our grant, he's available for our grant, and if he were to put a nice fence, maybe one of the vinyl fences, it would block off, because he has auto parts and cars that are in process of repair, and none of them are out, but they're all behind this chain link, and it really is not, I told him, I said, you might ought to consider that, because it would be friendly to your neighbors, and there's a grant available to help you with cost.
Yeah.
So I'll contact him, and if, with your permission, I'll tell him that there's no active case, and that I'm going to suggest that he apply for a grant.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Because that'll help the neighborhood, and it'll help his neighbor, Jerry. So, great. All right. Any questions? Okay, grant applications.
that one grant application today, and I just to let you know.
I've been waiting.
We have quite a few in the pipeline, so probably the next meeting we'll have four or five. This is Daniel, the 34 North Mag. The grant review committee went out there last week. The request is for resealing and striping the parking lot, and also to paint the building. The painting request is only for the material. No labor cost was involved, so we have a $1,000 request for the grant, which is 100% reimbursed, and for the parking, the 75% grant is $2,280, for a total of $3,280 for the grant request. These are just photos of the parking lot that will be resealed and striped. Includes the front. This is a new write-off, Magnolia, and then that goes to the back. So the committee recommends approval. Okay. Questions or comments? I think the owner of the property is here. If you have any questions,
now's your chance, guys.
I move we approve it.
I second it.
I have a motion for approval and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Next item is property acquisitions.
Okay.
This is, we've been working on the Moxon, or Joe's been working on the Moxon property. They're shown in red here. Except for where the office building is, that's not included. The committee in August approved the price of
$285,000. He wants to do it.
No, I got more to go. I haven't even had an adjustment, so we're all clear.
So, there we go. You need this? I know this. I mean, go ahead.
It won't be sure.
Yeah, you got to be close to this little two-hitchy there.
Oh, I won't do it. Right. We have a contract out with Mr. Moxon right now. Met with him yesterday. Everything went at 285. Okay, so we blow. So I had that extra money, so I thought I'd spend it.
Great.
Another property. But the only thing right now is that what we're doing is we're buying, and this area here was just got started right, kind of cut across like that. Mm-hmm. He's going to keep the building. There's enough property, and we're rezoning, and the contract is subject to a rezoning. We talked about it before, to a B2. Okay? And we just wanted to make sure. He didn't understand some of what he had to get done with it. Barto was helping him. The application, Patty's helping him with the application now. The contract is subject to that rezoning happening. We can't guarantee that because it has to go through hearings. And then so.
What is the property zone now?
Right now it's
residential.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Okay.
So, and you know, and you guys only visited that property, the closest store, and way back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember this until I said, baby. It's hard. Anyway, you're not going to believe this, but the house that my family was in when I was born, is right on that street.
Is that
right? I was raised in that neighborhood.
Well, you remember.
Well, I remember the grocery store. Yeah. I remember the sawdust pile across the street.
Anyway, all he wants to do is keep it as an office, have some latitude. If he does sell the property, we know it will at some point in time. His concern right now is this detail. He wants to be able to, because the cattle company's always office there at G&M, and once in a while, one of the kids comes through and they got a parking trailer, he wants to know if he's going to be able to do that. And so we're just making sure we can do that.
Is the B2 zoning an appropriate zoning, or should we go higher?
We think it's appropriate. That's a planning recommendation.
Okay.
And it's okay for you. B2 includes retail.
What is the Magnolia? Do you know what the Magnolia Bakery is?
But that's probably before.
Okay.
So anyway, that's where I'm with Penner right now. Hopefully in the next day or so, we'll sign the contract, we'll have it, and then we'll get it. That's going to have to go to council because it's an out.
We get the property behind that building?
Yeah, everything from there. See, where's my, I lost my arrow. Okay, everything from behind the building, of course, there's some property behind the building.
Right.
And it goes with it, but from about where the arrow is here to the north, we get.
Okay.
And everything else in red.
All right.
And all that I allocated where the purchase was.
It includes the one on the other side of Magnolia?
Yeah, on the side where, this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, yeah.
And also the other one in red across, what is that?
Everything in red.
Now, is the properties behind it, that's all residential zone too?
All, that's all.
Okay. And then the other red is probably what?
Yeah, one or something. And where is the other red?
Fire.
It's up there on the wall.
You're driving.
I know, I can't drive with the crap. All right. Interesting things happen. We got to have a busy office. It's explosion. It's kind of crazy in a way. But up here, there we go. Let's see if I can make sure I'm in the right spot. There's that little piece there, there's that one there. This one, this one. Okay. Here. Okay, so in the meantime, this lot, what's the blue we already own?
The blue is what we already own.
Yeah. Now, where'd the arrow go? I didn't move anything.
I forgot to pull your license.
All right, anyway.
Joe,
my erstwhile successor in the real estate department had a guy send him a couple books on these. It's a long story, it doesn't matter. Once for that lot that I just had the arrow on, and the arrow just disappeared.
It disappeared, it did disappear.
I had to keep it moving, I guess. Okay, so that's that lot there. In the meantime, I was contacted by another company that owned the ones that are north of that lot, and I'm also Darrell again, come back here, that lot and that lot, and this lot over here. That's what?
Good.
Pretty nice. Tax write.
Good.
Okay?
Awesome.
So that's going to fill out that, pretty much that block.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, I did such a great job with that. They call us. But the price is right. It's filling in the area. And so I'm pretty happy with that.
Good.
And over here, bring my arrow back. Okay, we have that. We have these. This one has got enough taxes over on it. We got code on it going after that one. Fill that in. And tell you the truth, I don't remember the deal on this one, so check it out later. I'll go after it.
You got a lot of properties up there, don't you?
So it's filling, and we're filling in a nice chunk of the area.
Right, yeah.
Get with somebody to do something.
Great. Yes.
Besides all the stuff, the commercial stuff that we want to do. So, I'm kind of excited about it.
Great.
You are. Now, this guy that I bought these, but also had a group of lots on the west side. That'd be in an area that we're working on, so it worked out very well. It turned out he was really a financial guy. When the builder came back, and I even remember the guy came in to do some robust stuff right before our crash and bought some properties up and started. This guy had a mortgage on the property. Eventually he ended up with the property. He even had some foundation thrown in and stuff on the west side. So, and he finally just gave up. And said, I guess he waited long enough to work. So he was kind of dumb because he's been paying taxes on all these years. He hasn't got a tax credit. He was happy. He's kept them loaded and basically done that. Got code get it for once in a while. We go away and take care of Silver Jacksonville. And so, whatever. That worked out. That's that.
One other thing, Joe. Yes, sure. The little white dot there between Moxon's and the blue on the right there.
Uh-huh.
How hard is that going to be to apply?
Well, according to I haven't tried.
Yeah.
I still remember when the taxi company was living in there. I think it shows on the tax rolls that Howard Ferguson owned
it. I thought I saw him leaving there yesterday.
Howard?
Yeah.
Really?
In his taxi.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh.
And,
so I don't know him personally.
Well, I guess that's still zoned residential.
Yes.
So when that's changed to B2 and the blue up there is probably residential still too.
Yeah, that's all residential.
But we can consider acquiring that property and changing all that to commercial, it gives us the buffer.
Right down the street, right down the street.
Yeah.
You got to, I can't talk for planners, because they got very mad.
Right.
Can I do that? When they see the daggers coming already.
Well, I'd just like to, you know, it'd be nice if we had it, then we have, except for Mr. Moxon's, which is called commercial. I'm not gonna sell it for that purpose, too.
Eventually. By the way, Henry looked pretty good.
Good.
I hadn't been with him in quite a while, and I was glad to see that.
Okay.
And he's still sharp, you know, all the.
No. Sounds great. Thank you.
Oh, and Mr. DeVoe, okay, Mark has spoken to him 10 days ago, we didn't get back to yet. And we have a light meeting of the minds. I often show him that what he said when he got all done. He said, well, that was my I number. I said, well, I still. Okay, I'll be back. But it made, we paid, $27,000, which was basically the land value. She had a building with a house on it, and basically the land, the assessed value of the land. I don't even think it's worth the operation, which I still pay. So I think I've got it up in like, it's like $90,000.
That little lot that's next to the whole property.
That'd be good, let him.
Yeah, let him have it.
And that was the yard money, so that's helping by.
Yeah. And, you know, he may acquire Marvin's at some point in time.
Let's square it up.
Yeah.
I think, man, of course, that's what I'm working on.
Yes.
Man, very good.
You've been doing a lot.
Don't even bother anymore, did you?
And we're not, they're only people you take care of either.
I mean, I think with Tracy, though, it was really funny. I mean, the guy called him, and it was one of the tax guys of, like, tax properties, you know, and they had them. And they just realized they couldn't do it, the ones they bought. And he called me and said, would you be interested? And he said, well, I'll check. And meantime, the guy just sends him a couple of deeds.
Yeah. Okay. Joe, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Very much. Okay. Imagine North Magnolia redevelopment.
Okay. Last meeting, I think we talked about the boundary of the, what we're going to consider the North Magnolia area. So this black line here is the map in front of you. This is what we came up with. This is Magnolia, all the way up to 26th, down to 13th. And what we were trying to do is include all the vacant property that we want to redevelop as a first priority for it. So that match what we discussed at the last meeting as far as the boundary, is this boundary work?
My recollection is that the most important thing that we did is that we did determine a boundary and we got approval and we left it with staff. If you all didn't find any issues with it, that's where our boundary would be. And we would know what was Imagine Magnolia, and we could focus on different things. One being 14th Street, that area, and Mike he's fostered this all along, that on the south side, that's a perfect place. We're soon to the point to where you could put that out for somebody to develop along 14th Street. Up on 20th, there's a lot of vacant property, and that could very well be at some point, you know, we might feel like that it's the place to go. And Lord, thank you, Joe, for continuing to gather this real estate. That's great.
Well, this piece, these two lots here, that's about 7 acres of vacant D5 land. So, that's a pretty large chunk of land for this area. And all this crosshatch area you see here is vacant, and this double crosshatch is what the city owns, which is all vacant. So we got a lot of land that needs to be redeveloped. So I think it's time that we have enough land to move forward with. We don't have to acquire all the land. Our mission is to get the redevelopment process started, and once we do it, we hope that the private sector follows. So what we'll come back with you in January is some ideas of how the land is, could be used, and especially for the commercial, some type of building form concepts.
I think we're ready for that.
Yes, I do too.
Let me ask you a question. It does not include Sitel at that intersection of Magnolia and 14th Street?
No.
But it does include Mark Revolt's property. Does that put any requirements on him or restrictions for that property that he bought from Moxon? Is there a reason that property is included?
Well, it's some of it's undeveloped.
Because it's undeveloped and not, yeah. Sitel is developed.
If you come up with some kind of incentive program for the Imagine North Magnolia area,
it would help.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I just was curious because it didn't include all four corners, and I knew that intersection.
Well,
was
I think this corner here is pretty much set and developed.
Right. I agree.
So.
Okay, I was just curious why it did or didn't include that corner, since it didn't include the other. And I see what you're saying, it's undeveloped, so it's primed or something.
So we have some other maps we included in your packet. This is the traffic map. This one up here on North Mag. The TTO has tracker count book, the update of the year, and we can get you copies of sections of that. It's also online. I sent you the link. Anyways, this particular one was like tracker count of 5,100 5 years ago. Now it's down to about 4,100. So that area has dropped.
That's a 5 year.
Yeah, 2013 to 2017. But this one up here actually increased almost 13% on 20th Street. Pine and 10th Street, pretty much the same, a little bit of increase. So, like I said, these are updated every year. What's interesting to me is the amount of traffic surrounding our neighborhood here. Is you got 27,000 on Pine, 25,000 on 10th Street, so going around and through the neighborhood, but not coming in. So that, these traffic counts kind of impact what we might want to think about commercial-wise on Magnolia, imagine that North Magnolia area. You know, a lot of retail places look for traffic counts.
Sure.
They want traffic counts up in the 20,000s. So that's something you should consider when we go forward. And then we also have sewer and water map.
And if I have a question,
yes,
your opinion. As the downtown and the midtown area, which I believe in the future will continue with when the hotel opens and other activities, what do you think it'll do for the traffic flow from the north down Magnolia?
Well, there'll be a lot more traffic in and around Silver Springs, State Road 40. I don't know how it'll disperse, but the planning and engineering departments are working together on a traffic circulation plan for downtown and midtown. The hotel really is going to change the pattern, you know, especially when everything's done. And so traffic has to serve that hotel. We're trying to keep the downtown, you know, pedestrian oriented. We want to make it pedestrian friendly, you know, all in the downtown. So that affects how you do your trip or vehicle circulation. But they're working on a plan that'll probably come out in 3 or 4 months.
Let me ask you this, Gus, do you know, or does anyone know, when, you know, in front of the hotel, they made that right turn only, and of course, a lot of people don't turn and they go straight. But when they resurface and everything, are they intended to make First Avenue a one-lane road with parking on each side, kind of like 8, where they, you know, just have...
They're considering that. I don't, do you know any more about that? Ian's been working with the Aubrey and Engineering Department on...
I think it may or may not be good. I'm not a traffic engineer. I mean, I can see the disadvantages when somebody's not sure where they want to stop, turn, or park. But on the other hand, there's only one lane going straight. You know, one goes left and one goes right. And then the one in the middle goes straight or either turns left on the boulevard. But
well, that, what is now the right turn lane, some of that will have to be dedicated to a pulling place for unloading for the hotel.
Oh, I thought they were doing that behind the hotel.
Yeah, I think it's on First Avenue.
Is it?
There might be something also on Broadway.
Yeah, I thought of the plans between the actual main motel and whatever that little residential building they're building facing the old library. I thought it was that was where you pulled in to load and unload and then go over to the parking garage. Do you think they'll sacrifice part of that lane as well?
I don't know what exactly where it's going to end up. I can find out.
Well, I was just curious about First Avenue because obviously we want to get a left turn lane off the boulevard one day going into our neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Again, with one lane going straight, you know, I don't know that there's any need to have more than one lane going that way. But there again, I'm not sure. I don't know.
I would hope that traffic is looking at Magnolia to make that our best turn.
Oh, yeah, that's still
big time. We're looking at that
first. Because with all of the activity and the hotel there, it would seem to me like, and I do believe that Midtown and North Mag needs access from Highway 40 and from the west. And I think it would be a good, sensible thing to take a look at Magnolia and forget about First Avenue.
Well, that was my idea. That's a good idea.
I'm promoting my side. I don't care about it.
I thought taking Magnolia, making a two-lane, you know, and of course you got room to make a left turn there coming up the hill. There's a grassy area there that you don't have really on First. It is Magnolia, which is even better, you know. So you're turning on Magnolia to get to Magnolia.
I understand. It's tough.
Well, that's the end of the two-way pair.
Right.
But it certainly is. It's going to have to be done somewhere along either First or Magnolia, and I believe Magnolia is the best option for First.
Yeah. Well, if you do that, I don't care what you do for
First. First is going to be so busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they take part of the lane that's the right turn lane and use it for parking and unloading, offloading, then it's just really, I don't think we'll ever get anything down First. But I think it would be pretty easy to get it down Magnolia because you would be turning left before you got to all that activity.
Right. And I like the idea of turning on Magnolia. You know, it is Magnolia.
Yeah.
You're not turning on first to get to Magnolia. I tell them, turn left on Magnolia and we're on Magnolia. Mm-hmm. You know?
I've always had a lot of concern because if you ride around downtown, there is not really anything, unless you want to come to have a meal or you want to come see an attorney, there's just no businesses in this general area that's going to bring people down to shop. They're just not there.
They're not, you know, what you would call anchor retail.
Yep.
You know, they're not huge, big name establishments.
So, I would say, maybe I'm confused or wrong, but I'd say that there are 10 or less.
That's probably about right.
Yeah,
that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Shannon Ross is probably about the biggest one they got down there.
I mean,
that's Panthers down on Broadway.
It's more of an, it has turned into more of an entertainment area.
That's right.
And the boutiques, the ones that are there, either are boutique or on the, well, they're all boutiques, really, when you come down to it, even the White Elephant and that type of stuff. You're Shannon, you know, you're Shannon Ross and stuff like that.
Anything else on the topic? We had a few other topics. By the way, Ian prepared all our maps, so you can thank him for that.
Good job.
These are water and sewer. You can see the water and sewer lines sort of follows the imagined North Magnolia area pretty well. We talked about lighting and sidewalk needs. So this is just our base information as to what's there already. So we'll try to figure out what needs to be added.
What's the difference between a street light and a yard light?
The street light's in the public right away. The yard light would be on private property.
Oh, that's privately owned.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
When you hit the map, you get everything.
I got you. Okay.
So, like I said, we'll, in January, we'll come back to you with some ideas to get started on the Imagine North Magnolia area,
which is, sounds great.
It's been a long time.
Planning for it.
Next item, we had talked about in the last meeting also, is the type of newsletter. Now that we have emails for all the businesses, we can send out electronic newsletter. It also can be hard copy here, so we can do that. So what we've put together, we can work with city manager's office as a public outreach or public engagement. They have a graphic designer that helps set up this. So we gave an outline of some of the topics. Our issues we want to put in the newsletter. This would be the first one, probably come out in January. Sending out a newsletter in December is probably not a great idea. These are some ideas we had to put in. It's kind of an introduction to the CRA since it's the first issue. So we have some information on CRA's awards, CRA, where it's located, the map, some information on Ninth Street Project, some statistics, a list of new businesses from the TDA's team. We thought it'd be a good idea to have some interviews with new businesses or old businesses, just to, you know, kind of try to publicize them. We can also have a page mentioning the North Magnolia Business Association of Business Districts. So we put this out there to get your feedback as far as far as the content and the format.
This is nice.
I like it.
First, I want to clean it.
Thank you, this is great, this, we need this, this has been one of the issues with our grant. Saying the message to the people that can use it, and I think this is wonderful.
Have we had that many new ones?
There's one statistic that stands out on this back page. Of 127 total housing units, 33 are vacant. Are they not livable, or is that just?
Well, that may be something we need to look closer at, that kind of stuck out to me too. But what this, the source of this information is from Esri, which is the biggest GIS company in the country, and they have a lot of data sources, you know, the census, and so this wasn't based on an actual field survey, just their calculation of the data.
And I mean, that's, so, even at average, you know, I ride through there and see houses boarded up and don't look livable and overgrown, and of course that's a shame, because as somebody who has rental houses, that is, you know, anything that you can make livable, somebody will pay you money for that. For people who just sit on a vacant property and let it deteriorate, you know, it's kind of surprising. I just took out, it's, like you said, it's just jumped out of ground.
The way that we get this data, or the way that the program gets the data, community analysts, is you draw a boundary, and then it chops up the data. So it apportions the data according to the fraction of the area.
Of the larger area.
Like census tracts or whatever. So it might not be 100% correct, but
it's... Well, just sitting here thinking, it probably is right, because I ride around the area and I see the houses that are not lived in, you know, or aborted, I have to say.
There's a lot of this area up here, really not ever.
On the right side here?
No, we've never been able to get everything going on the left, so we can go from the right.
You're absolutely right.
But now, that's soon to get the left to where we can really spread our wings and take care of our complete CRA.
And the way that area on the right is, you know, has churches and the old boys club and Simcoe and some of these others, it's hard to envision that being a residential area. It's almost like that really just needs to be all commercial businesses of some sort. But our last little place on the west side, you know, Magnolia, is our last little residential stronghold, you know. And that's where prime property is. Put it up for development, you know. You just got to think of some kind of affordable housing. And so I'd say when we do address that, it'll probably be more commercial, even on the back streets.
So what we'd like to do is try to get this out mid-January. So if you have anything else you want to add, you can just send it over to us.
Okay.
And then we'll try to do something quarterly. Mm-hmm. Is it quarterly work? Is that
That's a good way to start.
Good, yeah.
All right. Just give us anything else you want to include. Next item is landscaping on North Mag between 10th and the railroad track, the south boundary. This was, you know, budget actually last year, but we were focusing on 9th Street, trying to get that on the start mode, so we just got to this. What's in front of you is a proposal to do a landscaping plan for the corridor here. I have Mike Mollis from Kimley Horn, prepared a proposal, and I kind of explained to him what we were looking at, that, you know, the sod areas, the green space is kind of problematic for maintenance, just doesn't get maintained right. Some of the trees specifically, pear trees are kind of at the end of their existence, that we basically just want to freshen up the area. So, Mike, do you want to?
Yeah, absolutely. So as Gus said, my name is Mike Mullis. I'm a landscape architect. I've been practicing about 22 years now. I thought it would just take us a minute to introduce myself. I've worked with a handful of folks over the last year and a half, but just since I haven't met you guys yet, give you a little backstory. Over the last year and a half, I've been helping the city. We've been fortunate enough from the LA side to work on the design concepts for the Osceola track. I've been working with Aubrey and Ian coming aboard about 5 months ago, so that's been fun, and we've helped along with the roadway improvement plans for Knight Street and did the design details and the walls and plantings along that corridor. And generally, we're kind of helping out along a couple of different fronts as well with some gateway signage over for the track, at the corner of the track and Silver Springs. And we're looking at some streetscape improvements along 3rd Street. So it's been a fun year to get back engaged. You know, Kimley Horn's had an office here forever and a day. And when I was in Sarasota for many years, it's interesting to come back now, and years later from, say, 06, 07, to see this kind of regrowth and Ocala's this funky, cool place, you know. So, as I've been working with things, Gus walked me through conceptually what you guys were thinking about along Magnolia Ave. And as Kay said, you know, there's some maintenance concerns. The landscaping is kind of the building's
harder.
It's life, yeah. I mean, some of those pretty marbles aren't so bad. They almost look stately as big as they are. And those are so tough with the yopons and the pears. And yeah, they're looking pretty tired. So, what I put together is really a draft, and I'm, you know, in big bold letters there, is in my mind what we need to happen is we need to create, assuming that you want to go out to competitive bid, is the driver behind a lot of this. So if you guys have somebody on call or an agreement with somebody, this could probably be simplified. But if we're going to go to a bid scenario, we'll need to just put together a base map. Right now, there is not available survey. And Gus and I tried to get our hands on the, I don't know how long it would have been, 30 years ago?
2001, so 17.
Yeah. So the original design plan to get by, so there would be an effort to put together. So, you know, they wouldn't be perfect, but we'd get them as accurate as we could using GIS, aerial data, walking the corridor, and just trying to do something to that stretch of road. You know, the second piece is preparing some conceptual plans to talk to you guys about, and just give you a couple of different ideas to consider. The approach that way is that's similar to how we did it on 9th when I was brought in the 9th. I know you guys like to visually see kind of what you're doing. You need to be able to talk to the other members of the CRS to get buy-in. So we have the data collection and base map prep, and then we have some design concepts, and then buy-in construction docs. Again, assuming that you guys would go out to bid. So we have to put together enough information that you guys get, you know, ABC bid, not A, multiple, and orange if the plans aren't tight. So that's what's in here now. And of course, it includes coming to see you guys, if you need it, meeting with you if you need. So good news is I'm here probably at least one day a week already, so helping out with other things. And I hope you keep that going. We really enjoyed working with you guys, and want to keep that moving forward. So, be glad to answer any questions you have, and certainly feel free to take this. And if you have comments after, you can come back. But if you have any questions now, I'm glad to try to answer those for you.
I would like to see flowering plants. that are hardy, so we don't have to spend so much money. If you look in front of my business, I got Mexican petunias that have been there for 10 or 12 years at least.
Yeah.
And thank goodness that nothing has to be mowed, everything, it just blooms, and once a year I go in and cut it back, and it comes back even fuller and looks prettier the next year. Occasionally I fertilize it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just personally like things that have flowers.
Oh, me and you both, yeah.
I would hope that you could make Marion County. As colorful as you found in Sarasota.
Absolutely. and the thing about streetscapes and plantings in the four door, you know, you're limited. It's a space thing. You know, we've got a limited right of way that falls under the city's domain to maintain, but if the interface between these businesses is not existent, you know, there's a business there. So I think that initial phase of looking at that interface, what's working well, and where our opportunities are is the first step. But I am a huge fan of the right plant for the right place. You know, if we're at Disney Resort, sure, we're going to use specialty plants, lots of irrigation, because we know there's going to be somebody fussing over it every day. Then you get into a parks area where, you know, you need to plant things where it's going to be touched once a year, you know. I prefer using plants, material that doesn't have to be mulched or fussed over and pruned every other week, and, you know, picking the right trees with seasonal interest, you know. So all of my plants, I typically take an approach of 3/4 of it is evergreen, a flowering evergreen, and getting interest throughout all the seasons, you know, so sprinkling in some camellias along with the muley grass, along with the azaleas. Encore azalea is a phenomenal, I don't know if you're familiar with plants, I love plants. Yeah, you know, the Encore they've been around a while now, but, you know, standard azaleas, they kind of pop off and make a show, you know, one time in the spring. The Encores do the same thing, but then they pop off all season. It's a really, really nice plant, and they have so many varieties that are, you know, small, big, white, red, purple. The color palette's phenomenal. And then geographically, where you guys are in the zone that we're at, you know, we're in this interesting zone where, you know, you got a Mimas yard, and you've got, you know, bird of paradise over here, philodendrons and hydrangeas and things over there. So we're in this interesting zone where we're not South Florida. We're not. I mean, we're not going to have that type of plant material here. But we have that nice southern ability to bring in some of the other plants and things. So know that whatever concepts you come up with, my initial effort would be to get the base maps together and define the areas that we need to address first, just the limitations. And within that, we look at the opportunities. And I can put together a couple of plant boards where, you know, get a picture. We'll pick out 3 or 4 different plants for these 3 or 4 different scenarios that are along the corridor, let you guys see them, weigh in on what you like, don't like. And then what I have typically done, and I'm assuming there's not irrigation along the corridor, and considering some of the improvements you guys are talking about, nor do we want to spend money to put in irrigation right now. So what we want to make sure we do is in the specifications on whoever we do select as a contractor, standard is 1-year warranty, that they have to, you know, warranty the plant material anyway. But we would put the onus on them to make sure over that course of the year that they're watering, however it's on them, helicopter, water trucks, those bins, however they want to do it. So within that first year of establishment, really those first few months of establishment, depending on when this goes to the ground, the types of plants we're going to be running in need irrigation, you know, on a regular basis. It's just that establishment period. So we'll make sure whatever plant that we bring to you guys is appropriate and not going to require a whole lot of extra.
I would take a mastery looking for.
Yeah, good place to start.
Yeah.
Just, you know, right now, really just understanding what the right of way is in relation to the back curb or side.
World,
you know, that'd be great. Okay. That'd help. Because, you know, I put some fee in there and
I bought it all.
Good.
But no, I know where the parcel sketches are and probably the as-built.
Wow.
Do you know where they're at?
Hell, I can't know where they're at. Nobody else does.
Tony, he showed me. I know where they're at.
They moved all that. They used to be very accessible. A lot of it's out in the pod right now, sitting in the parking lot.
So it's all paper copies.
Yeah.
So
you, that's the problem. It's paper. It's not going to be electronic.
But again, I think it's, you know, given that we're not moving curb lines, we're not doing any grading or stormwater utilities work, that's where we really get into the, you know, we need a tight survey, because that's when there is an issue, that's the first thing gets pointed to, is when base maps.
Yeah, the Asbel should show you. We monumented it all. That was all monumented when it was done. There's pins in the ground.
Mm-hmm. So, well, if we do this, if we use these paper copies you have, recreate this in AutoCAD, which is not a huge effort, it just takes a little time. What we'll make sure is, again, as we get to that construction document level, that we get some unit cost that's required as part of their submittal. So as things, hey, your map showed 5, but it's really 8, you know, or whatever, that they don't come back and say, well, that's special to us, that's going to cost $1,000 load versus, well, your unit cost we've already got. So there's some creative ways we can do this that, honestly, it's fair to everybody and protects everybody. You know, it's fair to the contractor that they're going to be able to get a visible set of documents and not be risking, well, this is not exactly right, but it's close. How am I supposed to give you a number? And then protect us that we're saying, look, this isn't exact. I mean, we're getting to get this pretty close. So we don't want to overcomplicate it, because I know all you guys want is to beautify the corridor, but there are just kind of standard of care items that we'll need to do to make sure that, you know, everybody's getting what they need at the end of the day. So, yeah. It'll be fun. It'll be a nice little project there.
I think you found that the people that I've spoken with that have property that front on the Magnolia, they're excited about it. Beautifying our area.
Mm-hmm.
And we always, wherever mindful that, you know, we are one of the entrances over to the Riley Center. So that area, we're going to continue to get more traffic. More from 200 is going to come down and come through town and go over to the Riley.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully as businesses continue to grow in our neighborhood, more traffic will come either as a destination or go through, whatever the case may be. And it's, no, we're ready. And when we get that section done, I'd like to see us move on out.
Yeah, you know, when you do the visit the corridor, of course, and walk about a little bit over there as part of other efforts, and, you know, we have that transmission line that runs down the eastern side, I believe it's the eastern side of the power line.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always a challenge, you know, because you're limited on what you can do underneath those. FDNL, they won't say you can't plant there, but they prefer the mid-story, understory type trees, which is fine. We do that all the time, but, you know, I know as you guys are thinking of the re-envisioning plan, you know, that could be a consideration to underground all that, because that's, if you go into any of those redevelopment areas, that's something you don't see is the power lines.
I think we're wide open. We're waiting for you to bring things to us and then let us massage it, look at it,
yes, sir.
Recommendations. I don't think we have any preconceptions. We just, we know what could happen, so we'd like to see it happen.
Yes, sir.
That's great. Any questions?
Very good.
Do you want to move forward with this proposal then?
Absolutely. We need a motion and a second.
I'll make a motion. Go ahead.
I'll second.
We got a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries.
Great. When do you guys meet? Every month or every other month?
Every other month.
Every other month.
Unless Gus has a reason that we need to.
And Gus, I don't want to overstep here, but I'm almost certain that by the time you guys meet again, I'll be able to have something for you guys to look at.
Good.
That would be great.
Yeah, yep. Most definitely.
Good.
You like to move quickly.
That's it.
Yeah.
There are some areas where I'm hopeful. I would ask the questions. How do you address it when we know that the public property line might be 36 inches, but yet there's 6 or 8 feet behind that?
If we know, if you have a good relationship with the property owner, I mean, it's a maintenance agreement. I don't know that we wouldn't necessarily want to start adding easements. You know, that just gets that term, makes people flinch a little bit when you talk about easements. So it's more of, if you had a zone there that, you know, we had 36 inch, but boy, if we only had that all the way to your storefront or the edge of your improvement, whatever that is, I think it's a maintenance agreement as you, you know, roll across the front, that the city will maintain that landscaping in that area. And those are fairly standard. I would imagine that you guys probably have one in the can if those were needed that we could start from. And if not, we could certainly help you with language there, but that's a fairly common, you know, putting a maintenance agreement in place is really common stuff. I'm good. I'm looking forward to working with you guys. It's going to be fun. Excited to see all the vision that you guys have for the rest of this. It's pretty impressive.
Well, we're going to have work for you all for a few years.
Good. Well, we certainly enjoyed it. I tell you, it's been nice to, I was in Sarasota. Well, I worked in Raleigh initially, and when I started with County 1 in 98, I was in Raleigh for a few years, and then went to Scottsdale for a few months, and then Hawaii for a few years, and then Sarasota for 5 or 6 years, and back to the mothership in Raleigh for a few years, and Sacramento, and then it was, I think I'm about to retire. I want to take a break. So I started my own firm in Raleigh and did that the last 6 years or so. But I always kept in touch with my friends here. It's one of my best times in practice was here in Florida because we have such a great LA group. I mean, we have studios in Sarasota, Orlando, Jacksonville, and Miami and West Palm Beach. And they had asked me to come start the studio from North Florida, which has been great. And so I rejoined Kimley Horn about a year and a half ago. So it's just been great to get back. And I've known Rick forever and a day. And we both started as little Daisy Face rookies, you know, 25 years ago. So anyway, I'm looking forward to working with you. So.
Okay. Before we leave this map, Gus, I've just got a question. From 9th Street, it shows Osceola Avenue. Has that running down to the CSX tracks? Has that been abrogated, or is it a real street?
I don't know. You know the question.
I'm trying to believe that right-of-way still exists.
I mean, that's true. Definitely from, where is it? Yeah, I see what you're saying here. We're a our boundary when we did the design concepts is at 5th. It stops at 5th and cuts over to Tuscarawas as we go that way. Is that an active road right
now? I know when you run the legal descriptions, they go to that.
The question is, I have some, it's just a company issue, I have some access issues along that street, that road, the back piece of property that we own. The only true access is from that little road that runs along the big red tracks.
Yeah. I know we talked about it.
How would he find out for sure?
Well, I don't find out any easy. But it used to be easy. It's not anymore.
Well,
I'll find it.
Okay, thank you.
Natural gas that was down that way.
Right.
And they had access. They
used to use that.
Well, the issue becomes,
they own it now.
The issue becomes at the corner of 9th and what is called Osceola, they have a crossing arm that crosses the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. It makes the access to that road, if it exists, almost, you can get a car down there, but you can't get a truck down there.
I mean, the railroad is encroaching on us.
They wouldn't do that.
My God. Well, Hopefully enough time has gone by since I pissed off CSX.
They don't forget.
They don't. Ever since I proved to them that they didn't really own the right of way at the crossing at North Mag and the train station down there, they haven't really liked me. Good job.
Okay, thanks, another act. On 9/30, the plans are pretty much 100% complete. We're still working with Spring and Doug and Irving on the easement for the fence. So hopefully we can get that.
We get that. Hopefully next week we can get that resolved.
I'll talk to you for a second.
Okay, yeah.
And also, while we were doing 9th Street, we were always looking at the north side of the road. Mike and I in the Grant Review Committee met with the property owner that owns from Osceola down to about here. He's going to be submitting a grant application for painting and landscaping. His name's Ed Lewis. I think he's a... He's very committed to improving the property. I think we had a good reading with him.
Very good.
So that is good for, you know, matching up what we're doing on this side, since he owns so much property. And his, probably our January meeting, he'll have his grant application in.
Is that the building that, I mean, it's almost in the right way, it's not it?
It's pretty close.
As far as the left turn on from 48 onto First Avenue, they'll have a public hearing on that in January. Somewhere in downtown there. So keep you informed as to when that is, so we can attend it or not.
One thing, I hate to keep riding a dead horse, but that little section of Osceola from 9th to 10th, it needs to be, I mean, if we're doing all this for the benefit of the rally and for the entrance to the rally, it just needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
It needs to be addressed. I said we had money.
9th Street on the way, we could start on that.
I just think that's... I went down yesterday thinking about how nice night it's going to be, and to have, you know, and then that corner up there, the grassy area next to 10th, at 10th Street, next to the railroad, right there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who owns that, whether the railroad does, or the city does, or where the boundary is, but talking about
that. The railroad owns a lot of it.
The railroad does?
Yeah.
Well, we could determine the property lines and just see what we could do. I'm sure they probably wouldn't mind us encroaching a little bit of landscaping.
Yeah, we'll have Joe talk some.
Yeah. I can begin with the Florida Northern track. It's okay.
Yeah.
No, that's the CSX owns.
I think this will be Florida Northern.
They're pretty decent.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we could maybe...
Well, the CSX owns this piece.
They own a lot of it. I mean, it's been years since I've looked at that ownership. I don't remember exactly.
Well, people that, you know, are familiar with the area and go to the rally on a regular basis, like if they were going to turn...
They'll know it.
If they're going to turn west on 10th Street rather than going up to the traffic light at 8, they might just circle around and have a right turn on the 10th and, you know, exit the... You know, like the flow of traffic trying to get out of there maybe in a big...
That's a good idea.
You know, or going on up to Magnolia, turning right, going to the traffic light to turning left. Keep a lot of the traffic out of 8 and 10, you know, at the traffic light.
Yeah.
But you could put some signage there for the rally if it was deemed necessary, you know. That's another way to access it. Ed would probably be on board keeping this property, you know, compatible.
Well, that's for sure. Whenever you do that little short strip, you could work on both sides, on Ed Lewis' side and also on the other side.
And then with the bulk plant back there, you know, you might consider some type of a fence or wall or something, just to kind of, it's a little bit of an eyesore back there behind the bolt plant, you know. I guess that would be on the other side of the railroad tracks on their property.
Yeah. So, within your CRA now, how many crossings are there on that rail line? Like, five, six?
Not many.
Well, it's one, Ninth and Magnolia.
There's a two railroad cross here, and then...
And then you got the one up there on North Magnolia, on the other side of town.
Yeah.
But nothing western.
Well, there's a lot of spurs that run through the area. I don't know how active they are.
It's a huge challenge design around there. They're like these invisible walls. I mean, you know, because there's so much space around them. They're never going to lower it or raise it up on their own, you know. It's just, you know, there's got to be creative solutions to those that... So you've got...
So that's all the updates I have.
Elect the chairman and the vice chairman for effective January 2019. And the chairman will entertain a motion.
Make a motion to keep it like it is.
I accept that. I mean, I second that.
So much.
All in favor?
Aye.
It might take a couple weeks. We don't have any hanging chances.
I really felt like that it's important that with continuation that someone else would want to chair, and I would be very happy to let someone share our meeting if that's...
We'd be very happy to keep you there.
Would you just accept it again?
I'm still in training.
OJT.
I will continue on, but I do want this group to know that next year we'll have to. I just think it's very, very important. I don't have any notion or interest in not as long. I've been blessed that the city has allowed me to be a part of meetings long and far, and I really appreciate it. I've learned a lot. Hope I've been helpful in some degree. But next year we're going to have to have a meeting.
We'll talk about next year when it comes.
We'll cross that bridge.
I didn't do that. Unless you were doing like this, quite a dozen.
So you did the keeping the chair and the vice chair the same?
Yes.
That's what we need.
Right.
That's good. They did. I have two questions, if I can just jump in here real quick. On 9th Street, have we changed any of the design of the project from the original plans?
Not from the last one.
Nothing's changed?
No.
Okay. And do we have a copy of the budget yet for this coming year?
Did we pass that out?
Yeah,
I guess I didn't get that. So.
We didn't get you were here last time.
Yeah, right. I had a disastrous electrical issue. Okay, thank you.
One other thing. Our January meeting is the January 24th. Okay. We originally had it scheduled for the 31st. Right. I have to be out of town.
Okay.
It's exciting to see more grant applications.
Oh, yeah. That money will have to work.
But even when Richard Barber's here, you know, Richard.
So great. Our group, we don't want our neighborhood rolled into risk of error. And I'll tell you what, seeing the crap in the county, I just told somebody in the future, maybe for this coming year, we'll pay real close attention to that and see what we can do to help this family downtown.
There's no way.
It's all about crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a place to drive.
Our traffic has never come back like it was before we had the road done.
So let's think of some way to get some food vendors in our neighborhood. We're desperate for food vendors.
Yep.
Is that on the track?
Well, thank you, staff. I heard you miss some other dollars you rolled in. We got the money girl on our side.
I was standing on your side.
Okay, your questions or comments, if not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn and we can go to our.
So moved.
All right, thank you, everyone.
Cheers to see you.
Just tell me on.